so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me, if you will. We're going to go to two scriptures tonight. We want to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11. Really, let's go to Matthew chapter 11 first. I know I've got it reversed, Broderick, but I want to throw you a little curveball, but I know you can handle it because you all that a bag of chips and some government cheese, and I know you got it. How's that for you? Am I fussing at you now? All right, yeah. You know I love you. I love you. All right, in the Hebrew, in this is one of my favorite scriptures. Pastor, you say that on all of them. Well, all of them usually are. Here's what it says in Matthew 11, 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you didn't bring your Bible and you're a heathen, say go ahead. Yeah. Threw you a little curveball on that one, didn't it? Yeah. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Come to me. Man, I like that right there. If you got a Bible like mine, that's in red letter edition, baby. Listen, when I first got saved, I only read the red letters. I'm not joking. When I got saved, I only read what Jesus said. I figured what everybody else did say didn't matter. I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, where do I start? He said, start in the Bible. I go, well, good. What part? He goes, start in Matthew. I said, all right. And I had to ask him. Now, listen, I was raised in church. I was raised in church, but I never brought my Bible. We were poor. We didn't have no Bible. I didn't have no Bible. My daddy had one. We had a big family Bible. I wasn't going to carry that big thing around. And so I asked Daddy, I said, where do I start? He said, start in Matthew. I said, what does this red stuff mean? He said, that's what Jesus said. So I started reading what Jesus said. I figured nobody else mattered, but it does anyway. He said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, that sounds good, don't it? Rest from your labors. Rest. Hey, quit pushing on me. I ain't ready to go. Go back. Come on. Thank you. We had this conversation before service. He gonna throw something up here. I'm gonna throw something back there. I'm gonna throw some love back there, bro. You know I love it. All right. So, but check this out. And I've preached a message on this before, and I may have to break it back out again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, all of us like that word rest, if you normal, right? But I think. And I think this is an issue in the church today. He said, I will give you rest. And we like that, right? But there is an and before it, which is a conjunction. Which means you got to do this in order to get that. And I wonder that if there are plenty of people, this scripture doesn't say, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But it does say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden because of that labor. Then I will give you rest. And I wonder if some of us can't find rest because we don't do no labor. Now, I work 40 hours. I work 60. Shut up. I'm not talking about working your job. But are you working for the Lord? What do you do for Christ? What do you do for Jesus? What do you do for the expansion of the kingdom? What do you do to help other folks not go to hell like a bullet? What do you do? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So in my opinion, that is a prerequisite for getting rest.
And how many knows that when you are a laborer, when you are a worker, when you are always busy, it is hard sometimes to enter into rest. I remember the first cruise I went on, I was bored out of my mind the first day and a half. Now, it was our first cruise. We did a 7-day cruise, and it was our 20th wedding anniversary. And my wife would just say, honey, just relax and enjoy yourself. I said, I'm bored. Because I'm used to doing, I'm used to going, I'm used to being, I'm used to doing. And it took me about a day and a half to realize that part of being resting sometimes is being bored. And then I got into the rest mode. And then I thought rest meant residence. And I wanted to stay in that rest mode. Now, some people have done that, right? You know, especially those who have served in the church and served the Lord for a long time, you say things like, I did my time. I didn't know it was a sentence. I mean, you know, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But everybody who's been to jail know what I'm talking about. You know, you say things like, I did my time, bro. Because you were sinless. That means you couldn't. But in serving Christ and in laboring for Him, it is a joy to be able to have the ability to serve others and to serve the Lord and expand the kingdom. Speaking of which, and it's on the same level. Didn't Scott do a great job on the drums tonight? Come on, somebody. Good job, bro. Good job. Amen. But working for the Lord and doing some things for God. Now, here's the problem that we get into. See, this message is too important to misunderstand. And so I want you to hear me, and I don't want you to get caught up. Well, you know, I got to work for the Lord. That's all I've got to do, and I ain't got time to work my real job. No, baby. No. That's where balance comes in. That's where you've got to work for the Lord, but also work in your job. You got to realize that you working on your job has the ability to even work for the Lord. See, if everybody on the job knows your bowling score, but they don't know you a Christian, there's a problem. If everybody knows your golf score, but they don't know that you a Christian, there's a problem. Amen. Well, they ought to know I'm a Christian. I wear a Honk If You Love Jesus on my bumper sticker. They ought to know I'm a Christian. I have one of them fishes on my lapel. Oh, no. I know a bunch of heathens have Honk If You Love Jesus on your car. I know some heathens that's got wear a fish on their lapel. I know some heathens who say, follow me to the Crystal River Church of God. They're not here tonight. They'll be here Sunday. So Hebrews chapter 4, my wife all the way in the back is still shaking her head. Come on, baby. Hebrews chapter 4 says God's promises of entering His rest still stands. Man, out of all these years, after all this time, entering into His rest, the promise of entering into His rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. There are some folks who are serving God but are failing to enter into the rest of God. And he says we ought to fear, we ought to tremble that some folks might not experience. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that there are so many people who talk about being saved and talk about having a relationship with God but never enter into a rest with God. Now we think rest means vacation, but that's not what it means. Let's go to the next verse. For this good news that God has prepared this rest, I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I like the way it worded it, has been announced to us just as it was to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. One translation said that it wasn't mixed with faith. So that tells me that just because you hear the word of God doesn't mean that it's going to do you a lot of good until you mix it with the faith that you have in God. It tells me that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, Romans 10:17. That we've got to hear the word of God and understand the word of God. I understand that Isaiah says that my word would not go out, and my word would go out and accomplish what it was sent to do, and will not return unto me void. I understand that. But until you begin to believe what the word of God says, when you begin to mix what you read with that, I know that God said this, and I believe that God is going to do it for me, then it's not going to have any good effect on you. It's just going to be good sayings until you begin to believe what you're reading, or believe what you're saying, or believe what the preacher said, and believe what God said. Until you begin to mix it with faith, it's not going to do you much good. Because it wasn't, what did it say? That because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Verse number 3. For only we who believe can enter his rest. My Lord. You ever wonder why folks can't enter into the rest? And I'm not talking about, they're having trouble, so they must not be in faith and believe it. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the rest of God that you can be in even when you're going through hell. And you can be concerned but not consumed. Oh, somebody hear me. You can be concerned about something without having to be consumed by it, because you're entered into the rest of God. And you're resting in Him and not in yourself. You are rest, my God. You are resting in your testing. And you recognize that it doesn't matter what comes your way, but the stuff that is surround me is not going to get in me. And as long as the things that surround me doesn't get in me, I'm going to be all right. Because I can be surrounded by trouble, but I got to make sure nothing surrounding me gets in me. You know, we went to Ecuador, my wife and I, and here was the words that they gave us. Now, make sure you don't brush your teeth with the water. Make sure you sound like a woman that knows something. And then here's what they said. They said, and when you take a shower, make sure you don't open your mouth and get any in your mouth. Make sure you don't get any in your eyelids or any in your ears. I'm thinking, what in the world? That is not my idea of a good time. I walked into the bathroom. My wife had blindfold on and stuff over her mouth. No, I'm just kidding. Because here's what they said. That the stuff around you, the water, every country's water has contaminants in it, even the United States. However, they have become accustomed to it, but if it gets inside of you, it's going to tear you up. Montezuma's revenge is what's going to happen. But it's the same principle. Is you all right as long as the stuff that is running down over you don't get in your mouth and your eyes and your ears. Amen. And it's the same way in what Jesus is saying, that you will be all right if you don't let what you're going through get in you. And the problem with so many people who are Christians have allowed what they're going through to determine and define who they are, and they wonder why they don't have any rest. It's because that they haven't rested in the hands of God and let Him be the shadow and the overseer of their life and the Lord of their faith. So here's what He said: for only we who believe can enter into this rest, enter into His rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter into my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since He made the world. One translation said, since the foundation of the earth. This didn't just get here. It's always been here. It's always been available to us, but we just haven't accessed that because maybe it's because we didn't believe. Pastor, when are you going to get to your first point? I'm already preaching. Just let me preach. Everybody all right? So, Even though this rest has been ready from the foundation of the earth, all right? We know it is ready because the place of scriptures where it mentions the seventh day, on the seventh day God rested from all his work. Hallelujah. Well, that's been good preaching already. So God wants to give rest to whoever is weary and whoever is burdened. He wants to give you that rest. But finding this rest is based on whether or not we believe his grace is made available unto us. You've got to answer that in your life. Does God have his hand out to me saying, enter into my rest? And until you can understand that the rest is not just for God, just for the elite of Christians, and by the way, there aren't any. But there's so many people who think they are, you know. Well, that's just for the elite Christian. No, either you're a Christian or you're not. Well, they're a better Christian than I am. Oh, really? Really? I mean, I've got two children. Sometimes one pleases me over the other, but they're still both my children. And if you, my God, and if you took a DNA test, they would still say they were my children because they were birthed out of my loins. Come on, somebody. So you got to understand that even though you might not be the best evidence of Christian, if you're a Christian, you're still a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you have a right to enter into the rest of God if you will mix what he says with faith. Well, I don't have any faith. The Bible says that God hath given to every man a measure of faith. So we've got to operate in that faith. You know, you might not have the faith to lay hands on the sick yet, but you still have the ability. My God. You might not have the faith to come up against the devils, but if you're a child of God, you still have the right and you still have the ability. Entering into his rest. All right? So we see the promise of rest for the believer in the Old Testament, and we realize that it is a shadow of the future. And following this theme through the New Testament, we learn that Jesus is our rest. That when we are in him, we have the ability to rest. You ever get tired of fighting? And, you know, you ever think when I was a kid, you know, you ever get tired of fighting? And I remember one particular time I had several guys that were trying to fight me when I was younger than a teenager, preteen or whatever. And they were trying, I don't know why, I was such a good kid, but they were trying to fight me. And I was just thinking, man, if I can ever make it to my yard. I remember that. That was an invisible boundary that you couldn't make, that the other guys couldn't cross if you could just make it to your yard. I was tired of fighting. I done whooped them about 6-7 times, but they wouldn't give up. No, I'm just kidding. I did whoop one, Randy Vaughn. You know I did. I whooped him, but he wouldn't give up. He was crazy. And then another one. And so I just thought, if I could ever get to my yard, and I remember crossing my yard, and I went, now what? Wasn't nobody else with me. None of my brothers, none of my seven brothers were there. None of my three sisters were there. Because I believe my sisters could have whooped them boys. But anyway, I don't even remember if my mama was there. But when I crossed my yard, the boundary of my yard, I felt safe and secure and turned around. What now? And they came up to the boundary. It wasn't no fence. We couldn't afford no fence. But they stopped at the boundary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Stopped at the boundary. You better be glad you made it in your yard. Oh, what? Or what? One of them took one step and said, boy, don't come in my yard. Yeah, I better not go in that yard. I don't know what I was going to do. But I just know he better not come in my yard. Some of y'all need to do that with Jesus. If I could just make it to the hands of Jesus. If I can just make it into the rest of Jesus. I don't know what's going to change. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know the devil can't cross the bloodline. If I can just make it to the hand of Jesus. If I can enter into the rest of Jesus. I can turn around and say, devil, I got it now. You can't cross it. You're going to have to deal with my big brother Jesus. This promise has been available for the taking since the beginning of time. And all that is required for us to reach this point is simply to trust and believe Him. Glory to God. We've got to trust and believe what God tells us. If we are willing to receive what He has for us, we can enter into His rest. Does that mean, Pastor, everything goes away? No, it doesn't. How many, let me just, by the raising of hands, let's make sure you understand what I'm saying. How many's ever been in a battle, you knew you was in a battle, but you had peace in the midst of it? Man, that's a crazy feeling, isn't it? That's a crazy, you know, everybody else was ringing, oh my God, what you going to do, what you going to do? I don't know, but it's all good, man. What you going to do? I don't know. God's got it, I don't know. Right? Well, what you going to do, my God? God's got it. God's got it. Right? Now, this is too important for us to misinterpret. Point number one. This is too important for us to misinterpret or to overcomplicate it. Because sometimes we overcomplicate serving God. You know, because we compare ourselves to everybody else. Now, remember this. Everybody has a different thumbprint. From my understanding, everybody has a different ear. There's no ear made the same. Anybody else? Isn't that right? Somebody, answer me in here. Yeah, thank you. Leave me out there by myself. But look, thank God for John. John don't know. Yeah. And my boy right there. He don't know if I'm right or wrong. Yeah, you got it. If Pastor said it, I'm with him. But from my understanding, all ears are different. But the gospel was preached to all. But those who did not hear it in faith, it did not profit them anything. And man, it began to just really get on me today that how many times have we sit in a church service and had a preacher preach and we hear the word but not add to hear to the word? Or we hear the word but we're not sure if we truly believe the word, and therefore we leave the same way that we came in. We believe the word, or we hear the word, but it doesn't change us because we're just not sure if that was really meant for me. It was meant for Pastor Steve. You know, he's super pastor. You know, he can leap small buildings with several leaps. But you understand, oh, that's for Pastor Cash because he's so godly. Oh, yeah, talk to Sister Cash. Especially yesterday, she said, oh, man, you need to talk. I'm going to take you to lunch tomorrow. I need something new for Sunday, so I won't talk to you. No, I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying? We always compare ourselves to everybody else. You ever compare yourselves? Here's what we normally do. We compare our weaknesses to other people's strengths. Instead of comparing apples to apples, we compare apples to oranges. Amen? But this is too important, guys. We got to hear the word of God. We hear it. I mean, if you're a part of this church, yeah, can I just be... Well, you know I'm going to do anyway. Clear my throat so y'all can hear me closely. Those of you that are home, we can see you and we know who you are. Put some clothes on for God's sake. (Clears throat) But hear me. I don't understand how people can come to this church, Crystal River Church of God. Oh God. I don't understand how they can come to this church but still live in adultery. And fornication, which is sex outside of marriage.
Well, we did.
No, don't get me started to preach on. Well, we didn't have sex. Well, what is sex? Anything that gratifies you sexually. So I don't understand how people can come to this church and worship like they try to worship and act like they don't know it's wrong. Well, that's just pastor's opinion. You're right, it is my opinion because it is the word of God. And you wonder why you can't enter into rest because you will not hear and adhere to the word of God. Where's my wife at? Where are you? You all right? I see you fanning. Am I all right? I see you fanning. Am I getting y'all messed up over there? Am I all right, baby? Am I all right? All right. If you don't profit from the word of God, it might be because you're not adhering to what the word of God says. I'm telling you, is there any witnesses in here that if you will line your life up with this book, your life will be better? It might not be better tomorrow. It might take a little while to work out the kinks. But if you will align your word, if you will align your thinking with the word of the living God, it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next week. It might even not happen next year. But you will come forth because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God hath said it, so shall he not make it good. And let me just go ahead and hit this. It's not because God don't want you to have fun. However, he could care less about your fun because fun comes and goes. But if God says, I'll give you joy, that way you can have joy in the midst of going through hell on earth. If you will learn to enter into his rest. Well, glory. Here, the word fear means cautious. Means being cautious, means being aware, means being diligent. In this context, rest means to rely on, have confidence in, and trust what God already did. Boy, that's tough. Because we want God to do something new instead of resting in what he's already done. Woo. As Brother Jesse would say, that a preach. The highest form of faith, the highest form of faith we can have is to rest. But resting is not the same thing as doing nothing. Well, I'm going to rest and just let Jesus do it. No, you still got, there's something on you. Resting is you have to labor to enter. Hebrews said labor to enter into this rest. Because it's hard. Why? I'll tell you why. Come here, Justin. Come here, Steve. Y'all come up here so everybody can see. Because here's why. Since Steve is super pastor and you the devil. I'm kidding. Every time we enter into rest, the world reaches out to grab us to try to pull us down from the rest that we are in. And that's why we got to labor to, even though we feel things going, we feel stuff hitting us, but we got to struggle. We got to wrestle to keep in the rest of God. We've got to remind ourselves, I am His and He is mine. I've got to remind myself that God shall keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on Thee. And the world is pulling me, and the world is trying to get me to come out of that rest, but I'm going to force against it. I'm going to wrestle against it. And so I just can't sit back and put my head up in the hammock and decide that everything's cool. I got to fight against the powers of hell, fight against this world, to make sure that I stay in the rest that God has prepared for me. Thank you, guys. And that's why we got to wrestle against it. God rested on the seventh day after He creating everything, right? He rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because He was finished. See, the Old Testament was a shadow of who was to come later. Jesus is our Sabbath. Now, the rest, this rest we're talking about, is not entrance into Canaan, because in our text, He were talking about that our forefathers, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, that they did not enter into Canaan. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. But they didn't enter into Canaan because they did not believe the word of the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, you know, we understand, those of us who understand, we understand that the land that flows with milk and honey didn't literally flow with milk and honey. That would be kind of gross walking around in. But it was representative. It was a shadow. It was a metaphor for a land that flowed with plenty. Because milk and honey was, you know, I guess what our Snickers bars would be today. Come on, somebody. So that was what it was. And so because they did not believe the word of God, what they believed was the word of 10 spies. 10 spies saw something different than what the Lord saw. But there were two that saw what God saw. There were two that said, we are well able to take the city. Yeah, I know that there are some stuff surrounding that, but we are in God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God will go before us and help us fight the battle. He will be with us. We are well able to go in and take what God said we could have. But these people listened to the voice of the world and the voice of people who were looking at things through the eye of flesh and said, no, we're unable. So they did not enter into Canaan. But that historical event is a type of rest to be enjoyed by Christians. Listen to me. I'm not against. God knows I am not against medication. You know, I mean, some folks think you need a deliverance. No, some folks just need to stay on your medication. I'm not being ugly. I mean, you know, oh, we got to cast out the devil. No, they just need to take a pill. They're chemically imbalanced. Right? Hallelujah. Just take your pill. Don't come off your lithium, baby. Just stay on it. I mean, for real. For real. Well, God has healed me. Let the doctor say God healed you. For the rest of us, please. However, I believe that God heals, and I've seen Him do it. But I've also, my advice is let the doctor say you don't need it no more. Amen. Well, I bless God, that's the word. No, let it be a miracle to the doctor. Come on. But I think that part of the problem in the kids' camp, I don't know if y'all saw this, at kids' church camp in Waimama, Florida, a full gospel a camp for kids, one of the biggest altar calls in kids camp, and I'm talking from first grade to fifth grade, was anxiety, depression for elementary kids. And we shake our heads with yes, we ought to, but it's because they see mama and daddy struggle with depression. And they see mom and daddy struggle with anxiety. I'm trying to get us to enter into that rest. And I'm not saying to not say there's not an issue, there's not a problem, but enter into that rest and say, I know that there might be an issue, but I'm going to rest in the arms of God because I know God's got this. I'm not going to turn my head or put my head in the sand, but I know that the God that I serve has a rest that I can enter into, and it will shield me and keep me when everybody else is going crazy. Crazy. I took the keys from the devil, and you ain't gonna drive me crazy because I have peace. My mind is on Jesus, and I'm not gonna let you take me there. It is billions of dollar industry in the church, but we've got this because we have forgotten how to enter into the rest of God. The Old Testament, I don't know where I'm at. What's my next one? There are some to whom the gospel was preached who did not enter into the God's rest because of their unbelief. And it's the same thing. And it's not a denominational thing. Well, Pastor, you don't understand, I was raised Baptist. I don't care. I was raised heathen. My wife was raised heathen. It's not a denomination.
Well, we just didn't believe that way. I was raised Lutheran.
I don't care what you was raised. I'm telling you the Word of God. Read the Word of God for yourself. And some of us do not enter in because of unbelief. And most of the time, it's because we know ourselves better than anybody else. We know our secret sin. We know our secret issues. Let me just help some of you. You ready? I'm going to give you a quick pick-me-up. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I know you got a bunch of issues. Even if I can't see them. Yeah, that'll help some of you. Some of y'all thinking, yeah, but I know some of them. No, I ain't saying to go all there. Check this out. Now, the historical event, go back one. Now, that's my fault. I'm not fussing at you. Just go back one. There you go. There you go, baby. This rest is not entrance to Canaan, but that historical event is a type of rest to be enjoyed by Christians. And we're not enjoying the rest that God has for us. I'm not one standing up here preaching to you as somebody who has obtained and you need to be like me. No, I struggle from time to time. I don't want you to think that. You know, I want you to know I struggle from time to time. There are times that I can't sleep. My wife will tell you, right? And there was a time that you know, there was a period for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months that I took ZQL every night just to sleep because my mind doesn't shut off. I told you, y'all don't want to get up here. My mind doesn't shut off, so my wife said, oh, I'm going to shut it off. And again, if I ever come up dead mysteriously, my wife did it. My wife, she watches Forensic Files every night going to bed. Uh-huh. They found somebody, they found a body or something, and she said, well, they wouldn't have found it if they'd have used this, that. And I was like, ah! If they'd have used this, and she told me a couple of chemicals, if they'd have used that, they'd have never found it. Ah! So if I mysteriously come up missing, it's her. John, you got my back, bro. So I just take whatever she gives me. Here, take this.
Okay.
I mean, she's like a walking pharmacist. Oh, baby, she's telling me your symptoms.
Oh, here's what you need.
And so what did we find out? That ZQL caused what? Caused memory loss. Was it memory loss? Hang on. Say it loud. Alzheimer's. I got half timers. Now I just don't sleep, but I don't remember that I didn't sleep. So I'm not one telling you that, you know, that man, I've got it all together and I don't go. So I struggle to go into that. You know, and then so many good Christian people, well, read your Bible because that'll put you to sleep. How many's ever been told that? And it's true, because you know, the devil don't want you to be up, you know. So they'll be like, hey, don't get the word, put you to sleep. But I'm different. I read the word, I start getting messages. I start writing stuff down, start getting sermons and stuff. Doesn't do me no good, doesn't, I can't do that. But so I struggle too to enter into that. Now, to God be the glory, I've been, hello, my name's Ronnie Reed and I'm NyQuil free. I've been NyQuil sober for, or ZQuil sober for how many months now, baby? About 10 months. So praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm just trying to get you to understand that I'm not somebody up here saying, well, this is what you, no, I struggle with it too. All right? Everybody does. But that's why it's a struggle. But that's why this message is so important. And I keep hitting something on my foot and it's driving me nuts. It feels like I got a shoestring, but these are slip-ons. It's the side effects from the ZQuil. But anyway. Gee, but nitty. Every time I go by, I like feeling, it's like, where is that? Woo! I'm good. All right. But now here's what's cool. Check this out. Some commentators view rest as a future heavenly rest. Oh, that's neat. That's good. That's nice. But how many knows I don't need rest when I get to heaven? I need some rest now. I don't need rest when I get to heaven. Man, when I get to heaven, there's a bunch of stuff I want to explore. Right? When I get to heaven, I'm gonna be gone. When I get to heaven, me and Mary's gonna sing. That's all I'm gonna say, Mary. We're gonna sing when we get to heaven. That's something. I was gonna leave it alone. You're messing with me. All right, let me move on. So they say this heavenly is a heavenly rest. While others feel that that term describes the present experience of the believer who has fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ and is totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Wow, now that's what I'm talking about. Well, Pastor, are you not totally controlled by the Holy Spirit like me? No, I'm not. I strive to be. But some days you feel like a nut and some days you don't. And sometimes I'm totally controlled by the Holy Spirit and sometimes I'm not. Why? Because I'm human that lives in a broken world that has to deal with people like I deal with on Sunday. See, you caught that, see? I didn't say you. No, but you understand what I'm saying. We deal with people. I mean, wouldn't it be great if everybody treated you good? Wouldn't it be easy just to go, oh, hallelujah. Glory. If everybody answered the phone, oh, what may I do for you? If every day when your wife got up and or you got up or your spouse got up and they went, oh, what could I do to make your life better today? Wouldn't it be great, Jane? But that don't happen every day. I'm going to leave that alone. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just messing with you. But that doesn't happen. It would be wonderful if everybody treated you wonderful all the day. It would be wonderful if your children never cried. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful when they're like 18 months, just they wake up and it's their 18-month birthday and all of a sudden they're potty trained. Instead of their 18 still struggling. He's with it. He's raving. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of sitting in this wet diaper. Come on, somebody. But that's not the way the real world works. Rest in Him. But when you are completely, totally controlled by the Holy Spirit, is He to do that? Now, here's this is cool. The fact that Genesis, man, I'm telling you about having me. I about had myself a time this afternoon. The fact that Genesis never mentions. The, and you know, because when God was doing creation, He said, and the evening of the seventh day, and he rested, or whatever, you know, the evening. And it was the fifth. It never said the seventh evening. And what one comment, or what several commentators, some Jewish commentators, say, and I want to read it, make sure that I get it right, because they said it better than I could. They said, the fact that Genesis makes no mention of the evening of the seventh day of creation provides a basis for some Jewish commentators to conclude that the rest of God lasts throughout history. Because on the seventh day he rested. And it never said, and the evening came. He rested all throughout history. And that's the same thing that you and I can go through. We can go through our history resting in God. You ever see people who rest through stuff that make you mad? They don't get upset about anything. They're just like even keel all the time. You know, this aggravates you. Don't point at them if they're here. But maybe it's because they're resting in the Lord. And it also could be that they're just so dumb they don't even know they're going through stuff. But let's just say it's the first. For those of you that are watching online, we would love to have you. We, or I, mess with everybody. There are some to whom the gospel was preached who do not enter into God's rest because of their unbelief. And there remains a rest for his people, and those who enter in have ceased, here it is, from their own efforts. That they've ceased from their own efforts. They now realize that I can't do it on my own. So there's still some of us who are still trying to make it happen on our own. That we're still trying. If it is to be, it is up to me. No, it's not. You've got a part to play. You know, because, and when I preach like this, there's a tendency for people to go, that's right, it's all Jesus, and I'm just going to rest in him and not do nothing. But you got to remember the parable of the farmer. Who had this great farm, and it was beautiful, and it was plush. And somebody said, man, God has done a great job here. And the farmer said, yeah, you should have saw it when God had it by himself. God uses your natural, puts his super with it, and it becomes the supernatural. All right. Hebrews 4, 5 through 11. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. Says that we must work to enter in. We must work. We labor to do it. Good Lord, I'm not even at point two. Even today, some people still struggle because they do not believe everything they need is already finished and waiting to be claimed. We're still waiting for God to do something. God's already done it, and he's waiting for you to step up to claim it. It is labor for us to resist what the world tells us and deliberately agree with what God says. Point number two is this. When we truly believe, we are freed to receive what God wants to give us. There's some of us can't receive anything from God because we don't believe we deserve it. Let me help you. You don't. Neither do I. That's why it's called grace. That's why he gives it to us, unmerited favor. But when we truly believe, we are free to receive what God wants to give us. Not what you demand, not what you dictate, not what you manipulate, but what he wants to give you. All right? He has made us, according to Ephesians 2 and 6, he has made us to sit in heavenly places. So that's where we ought to sit. Now here's the problem. Sitting and resting are synonymous. If you're sitting in the heavenly places, which means you're resting in God. How well we sit and rest determines how well we walk and live. I want that to sink in. How well we sit in our place that God's called us to be and rest in that place determines how well we walk and live. Everybody, I don't care who you are, how holy you are, everybody has, from time to time, drama. Everybody has drama. Everybody has issues. Everybody has stuff that happens. But if you ain't ever come out of drama for the last 15 years, You got a problem. And it might be because you don't know how to sit in the heavenlies. You know, you're trying to deal with it all. How many's ever tried to handle something and on your own and God wasn't in it and you made it worse? So many of us did. Yep. Yep. That's why some folks are divorced. Try to handle it on your own. Well, bless God, I'll tell them. Oh, yeah, you told them. I don't need them. And then, yeah, they left. That's right. You don't need them no more. But what you should have done is let God do it and get some help. I ain't got time to get on that, but I could. Deuteronomy 6:10. Write it down. I'll be gone by the time you get there. God promised this because half of y'all ain't got your Bible anyway. God promised his people he would give them cities that they did not build. Houses full of goods. Wells they did not dig. Vineyards they did not plant. He said to remember him when he did all these things. Now part of the problem is, don't get nervous, I'm only on point two, but I told you I'm not going to finish. I'm about to quit. Part of the problem is that God blesses us and gives to us. We begin to believe his word. We begin to walk in his statutes. We begin to walk in what I call the favor of God. All of a sudden, man, you're walking in the favor of God. It's like, come on, somebody. Man, this is good stuff. And then if you're not careful, you start believing it is you instead of God. And all of a sudden, you start taking some credit. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you this, that, and the other. You start believing your own press. The fastest way, hear this principle. One of the fastest ways to stop the blessing of God in your life is for you to take credit for it and not give it to God. You ever had somebody take credit for stuff you did? Well, that ain't fun, is it? That ain't fun. Well, I'll tell you what, I started this company. You started it. I gave it to you. But you get that. And it's the same thing. God doesn't like that either. This was not based on their self-efforts, but on their belief, right? God said, I'm going to give these things to you, not because of what you did, but if you believe what I said you're going to do. Now, see, somebody's going to forget everything I said, and they just going to get on Deuteronomy right here. They're going to get on this do it around me stuff. You're going to get on Deuteronomy. That's right. I'm going to have a house I ain't paid for. Somebody's going to give me a house. Well, if he does, praise God. But no, get off that. Work. Enter into his rest. Right? Come on, somebody. All right. So when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her about the living water he had to offer. He later told his disciples he had meat that they did not even know about. God's got some stuff that you don't even know about, man. God's got some stuff he wants to give you that you have yet to enter into because you have not yet believed. But when you begin to believe this book, not me, the preacher. I do my best to try to steer you right, but not believing me, believing this word. It doesn't matter if you believe me. What matters is if you believe this word. Because when the devil comes against you, you can't be saying, well, the pastor said, you better say, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, the word of God says, here's what I am, right? So compared to what Jesus has for us, what we can offer him is nothing in comparison. We got to draw from him and let him minister to us. All right, I got 5 minutes. Can I get it done? Let me see. I got one more point just on this section and to keep me on a schedule because I've already started point four on my notes. So come on up here. And point three, thank you. Spiritually, we must be fed first, Mom. Shouldn't have said this because I could take a little time here. We must be fed first before we can feed others. You know, if you've ever been on an airplane, they always tell you, you know, if the cabin loses pressure, please, a mask will drop down in front of you. Please secure the mask on yourself before you secure it on others. It's because you can't help somebody when you drown it. And how many knows that we've seen it? People will drown the person trying to help them if they're not careful. And some of you think you're stronger than what you are. And you're trying to feed people that you have yet to be fed. We're trying to give away stuff we ain't got. You've got to get it in order to give it. We're trying to pray deliverance off of people that we ain't got delivered from. Ourselves. Jesus told his disciples that they had freely received and they were to freely give in Matthew 10:8. And we must first sit, rest, and receive before we can give to others. But at some point in time, shouldn't we, as believers, say it's time for me to give back? You know, that's why we don't, listen, if you got saved last week, we really don't want you to teach a Sunday school next Sunday. Now, we'll let you open a door for somebody. We'll let you help clean the church. We'll help you. We'll let you park cars. But we don't really want you to try to teach Sunday school. Why? Because you don't know nothing. But what we do, church, you know, we're starting a campaign in the fall called Serve One or Attend One, Serve One. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But what we do as Christians. And I don't know, I had a conversation with somebody today. I don't know what it is about this county, but it's rampant. But what we do is we find a good seat. Yeah, this wouldn't work out. And we begin to sit and we begin to get fed. And then we begin to get full. And then we begin to get fat. And the next thing you know, we don't want to do anything but just sit there and be fed. And we've become spiritually obese. Where we've got all of this stuff, but we haven't given anything of it out or anything of it back. See, God hasn't called you to be a reservoir. He's called you to be a channel. To get it to you, through you. Man, when you receive something, you need to turn around and try to give it to somebody else. When God gives you a revelation, give it to somebody else, man. Now listen, don't force it on somebody. A channel, I didn't say a plunger. Don't force it. But let it be, you know, God will give you the opportunity. If you will be sensitive, God will give you the opportunity. You'll hear somebody go, hey, let me tell you what the Lord, here's what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord did for me. And he'll give you that opportunity. But what we don't need to do is sit back and just get full and do nothing with it. We need to sit, rest, and receive before we give to others, meaning that it is in my spirit to give. Are you talking about money now? No, but yes, no. Everything to give back to God. True evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And that's what God's called us to do. God didn't call you to be his lawyer, he called you to be his witness. He called you to do what you can for others. Oh. When Jesus was teaching and Mary sat at his feet, remember that with Mary and Martha? He told Martha that Mary had chosen the good part, which would not be taken away from her. Mary knew how to receive from God. Here's what the Bible said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life for many. Jesus came to serve, not just to be served. Man. There are so many of you. I'm trying to quit, so help me God, I am. But there are so many of you who have been hurt by church, by people, by Christians, whatever, my first word to you is get over it. All of us have. I've been hurt everywhere I've been, and I still go back. Amen? You got to get a little moxie about you. I don't even know what that is, but I think I do. Get a little something about you. Amen? I used to go to a youth camp. My wife would say, why do you go? They treat you so ugly. I go, I ain't going to let them win. Shoot. I'm a fighter. I go, you know, people do me wrong. I don't let them go away from me in the grocery store. I'll run them down. Hey, hey. Hey, I see you. They'll go in the underwear trying to lose me. No, I ain't afraid. I'll come up in here with you. How you doing? But what we do is we get hurt. We come to church, or a church, not just this church, but God has blessed us to be able to heal people. And we get healed. And then what we do is we get healed and we go, okay, I'm healed now. I ain't ever going to get hurt again. So I just got to enclose. I got to become a cocoon so that nobody hurts me again. Because if I get back out there, I might get hurt. Let me go ahead and help you. You're going to get hurt. But don't you know that's what's one of the problems with America is? We don't let kids eat dirt no more. I mean, for real. We don't let kids learn. We don't let kids get hurt. I'm not saying being stupid, but we don't let kids, you know, be kids. Oh, you know, the kid that got kicked out of school because he had a stick that he pointed like a gun. For God's sake. I mean, we just, in the same sense as Christians, we can't just get healed and go into a cocoon. God didn't heal you so you could go into a cocoon. God healed you so that you could go back out there. God healed you so you could go back out there and do it again. But Pastor, what if I get hurt? You will if you stay out there long enough. But when you do, you crawl back to Christ and let Him heal you again. Let Him heal you some more. And stronger you get, the better you're going to be off. Stand at your feet tonight. I know it's 8:30 and 8:33. But right where you are, would you just bow your heads and just take a few moments and begin to just concentrate on Him? Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're trying to enter into rest. Maybe you're on all kind of pills or something trying to get rest, and you just need the rest of the Lord. I don't know where you're at tonight, but you do. Maybe you've been hurt and you're scared to get back out there. Whatever the case is, I just want you to just concentrate on that for just a moment. Because God's about to do a healing in some. God's about to bring your rest into some. God's about to launch some of you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.